Blog Talk Radio.
Eagle has landed. It's landed. It's la 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 landed on your radios, on your podcasts, on your computers, on your iPads, on your mobile apps, your mobile phones, even across some of your car radios. Yo, you are tuned into the brothers, and I'm your boy from the first state. This is your boy Dre, joining me all the way live in the studio, as always, my brother from another mother, and I don't mean Danny Glover. I'm talking about my boy Mar, all the way from Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland, home of the Phillips crab cake, where it don't get no better. Mar, say what's up to the people. Microphone check. Mar, you there?
Hold on, hold on.
I got you in.
I'm here. Hold on, y'all. Ho, 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 ho.
y'all. Hold on. Y'all pray for my brother. I tell y'all, we are
I'm
so
fine.
Good. You good?
Having some technical issues.
Got you.
Well,
in loud and clear.
You know. You know. No.
Okay, I stand corrected. Y'all keep more of y'all prayers. I'm telling y'all, this technical stuff he be going through, you know, that's what happened when you get of age, you know, and things just start dropping all over the place, starting with your cell phone. Henceforth, on why we tell everybody when you do a podcast, you want to make sure you're doing what needs to be done. Hey, player, I see you back. Hold on, let me get you in. Hello. Are you in there, Mom?
Okay, so I'm just going to just throw everything out the window. How about that? I'm just throwing everything out the window.
Make sure nobody walking past the window, because you want to make sure you don't catch a charge when you start chucking stuff out the window. That's all I'm saying.
I know. It just don't make sense. Hi, everybody. How y'all doing?
Mars in the building, y'all. We're so happy that you guys are tuned in to another episode of the Brothers Podcast. Listen, we are about three or maybe two even episodes away before we take our break for the season, and then we come back in October with season three. We are so excited at how this
excited.
Show is.
Yeah.
Y'all remind me to bust him upside his head when I see you. I'm so excited that you guys have kept this show on your radios and on your podcast tuning. We are always excited for Blog Talk Radio. We are most definitely excited for what is about to happen with season three. We got some things we're working on. We got some other things that be like might make you be like, oh my God. But nonetheless, we are excited. A lot of things going on. Our good president chimed back in with charge number four. I'm sorry, indictment number four. But this time he got a turn, and the jury has spoken.
He is not alone in this. 18 others have been indicted with number four, what was it,
45?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 45. What can we say? Georgia has him on what's called RICO. It's called RICO charges. We're not talking about Puerto Rico. We're not talking about RICO Suave. We're talking about RICO.
What exactly is RICO?
So it's called Racketeer, Influence, and Corrupt Organizational Act. It's an act in the United States, and that's what they have him up for, RICO. So him and his fellow conspirators are up for RICO for trying to, of course, you know, they were trying to say that Biden did not win the presidency, and that, you know, certain states that Republicans normally win did not go red, they went blue. And so they were trying to test the validity of those blue states, Georgia being one of them. And so now Georgia has filed charges against them. They're saying they have emails, they have text messages that kind of points the finger at him trying to come against this ruling, come against the election. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
18 of his friends. And my disappointment was, as I was looking at the pictures, there was a brother and a sister in the picture. And my hair just began to stick.
Was it the church women?
I don't know. I have no idea who they are. It wasn't Diamond and, it wasn't Diamond and Silk. Actually, one of them passed away. So it wasn't one of them. It wasn't Domino Phillips. Right. It was a male and a female, a black woman and a black man.
Gotcha. In other news, bless their hearts. Well, my motto is quick, you know, charge them all. In other news, Full House star Ashley Olsen has quietly welcomed a son. His name is Otto. He was born a few months ago in New York, along with her husband, Luis Eisner. And so we congratulations to Ashley and Luis.
So let's talk about how quiet these Olsen twins have lived a very quiet life.
I think after the whole alcohol thing, I would step out of the spotlight too.
Yeah, I mean, and when I said they stepped out the spotlight, they stepped out the spotlight, and their sister stepped into the spotlight. So it's kind of just okay. Mary Kate and Ashley said, "Hollywood deuces, we gonna," and then that's it, and we gonna pop out when we pop out. This is definitely a pop out. Yeah, we're gonna pop out. We're just gonna pop out at moments and really, yeah, pop out.
I think to me, because a lot of their issues have been so public, and a lot of the incidences that they've been through has been so public, I agree with her. You know, keep everything on the hush, keep myself out the limelight, and when I need to pop, I'm gonna pop, and when I don't need to pop, I'm gonna keep my little ass right where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I ain't mad.
It makes sense. It makes sense. But their sister, Elizabeth, is an actress. You may know her as Wanda Maximoff from the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She played the Scarlet Witch. So the sister's been doing her thing, her acting thing as well. So still letting little sis have her fun.
Not mad at all.
In Georgia, a doctor decapitated a baby during delivery.
A black doctor at that, like
a black doctor. So yeah, during the birth, the baby was having some issues in the birth canal, trying to be delivered. They were pulling. They used the machine to pull the baby. How about they didn't tell the mother that this had happened? How about they didn't tell the mother?
That right there was the part that kind of pissed me off, was the fact that you, not only did you not tell the mother, but then you smack the baby's head back on the body for the mother to hold the child.
And you do a C-section on the mother. So then you, when the baby was not coming out, they did a C-section on the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like you did too much. You did too much. And a lot of it was to force the baby, I think they said, like try to force the baby out. But
the baby wasn't in a position to be delivered. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you right now, she gonna lose her license. She won't be able to
lose her license. That sounds like murder one. At least manslaughter.
And I doubt if she gets jail time. I really do. I really doubt if she gets jail time.
I'm gonna say because she is a African American doctor, and you know they like to make examples out of us, So I do believe, you know, she's gonna. I don't think they're gonna let this one just overlook. Even at the most, they'll give her is manslaughter, and even manslaughter one because of the simple fact that, in a way, it was like premeditated, but. Yeah, I feel sorry for the family. They were first time parents. I believe I read that right. And I just feel bad.
Yeah.
The hardest thing in the world is to lose
the first child.
Yeah, that's her first firstborn. And she, you know, and then even the cover up, you know, we recommend that you hurry up in Nation, and we recommend that you hurry up in that.
So I'm hoping that they don't. I'm hoping that they sue not only the doctor but the hospital as well. Because the hospital, the entire team of nurses.
They all did a cover up. That was absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, their first child, and to lose their first child in that way, and to be told that, you know, to cover it up, and I hope they, I don't know, it saddens me.
I would definitely let the entire staff have it, and if I have to bring the state involved in it, I would even get the state involved. I just felt like that was just a bit much. That was a bit much. Speaking of children, former NFL offensive tackle Michael Oher is has filed a lawsuit. You may remember the story from the movie The Blind Side.
Yes, The Blind Side.
He said that the story of them of the family adopting him was completely false and concocted, and they told this to enrich themselves at his expense. Sean Tohoy told the Daily Memphian that the family was devastated by the lawsuit and called the allegations insulting. And he's a former Ole Miss basketball player and booster. The family said the family drew up the conservatorship to ensure Oher could play football at Ole Miss, and there would be a potential NCAA issue if he wasn't an actual member of the family. Said he talked to Michael himself. However, Sean is saying that this is false, said that the family never adopted him, and that the movie made them millions of dollars, and that he saw not a penny of the movie. So the question is, do you think that it's false, or do you think that this man is just trying to get some cash now that that NFL career didn't work out the way he wanted it to?
I feel like it's kind of suspect, not on his part, but on their part.
Okay.
Because if they drew up a conservatorship and didn't explain to him what it was, because if I'm thinking of his backstory, if I remember correctly, this is not the first time he's been in the news. This is actually the second time where he talked about the story not being as true as it was portrayed. This is the second time talking about this. So I don't think he's telling a lie, but I think that there was some untruth, like there was some things he didn't understand. He was told some things. And I think that it wasn't – I don't think it has anything to do with the money, the NFL money driver. I think that it's the truth of what these people did to me. It kind of reminds me of when Britney Spears was trying to get her father to drop the conservatorship because her father had conservatorship over her. And, again, it's very telling of where people are going. Like, he's young. He doesn't know anything. It gets you to find something that you don't know or you don't understand, and you don't ask any questions because at that time, you know, you're in a worse situation. So I think he's being honest because, again, this is not his first time telling this story. It is his second time saying something about how this story may or may not be true. And so I think we need to look at it for what it is and take it at face value. I would like to know, it kind of reminds me of those stories of when somebody writes a movie about their life and you don't give an unauthorized biography about their life and you didn't give them permission. I think we have to look at it for what it's worth. These white people took them and gained all the money.
Why do you think that they
Why do you think they allowed the movie to be made, aired? Like, why do you think he would allow that if this was, like, a
I don't think that he was aware. It may have been they talked to him about the movie, or there's a movie being made about you, and you're going to get this, and you're going to get that. It could have been that type of deal. You're going to benefit from it. And maybe that's what didn't happen. He didn't benefit anything. And I think that when people don't, I'm going to always talk about this writers, like I know y'all get tired of me talking about it. It's just like the writers, they're writing and they're not getting paid. Well, this is my story, and parts of this story may or may not be true. You know, I was saying, you know, maybe it was, parts of it may have been embellished for a movie or a book deal, but, you know, you're going to make we're going to tell this story about your life, and you're going to get all this money, and this, and then he sees nothing. Yeah.
Okay.
So that could be the reason why.
Sounds good. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like, you know, if you're going to do, this is why it's important to me to have your legal teams lined up in a row and have your ducks and everybody in a row, only because of the simple fact that I just feel like, you know, this is the folk that always, this is how it always happens. You know, we get paid.
Right.
We do something, you know, we tell the world about it because we see an opportunity. And that opportunity creates an issue that, number one, should never be created to begin with. And as long, you know, if he got the paperwork to show that he was never adopted or there was never anything legal put in his system, do you think they would have to pay back the money?
I doubt it very seriously. I don't think they'll have to pay the money, but he may ask for a portion of it, or his portion or his proceeds for his money, because he's entitled to it, because it's about him. The story from the blind side is about him, and it's about his experience. And if he didn't get anything, I think that they need to give him what he's built. Of course they're going to be hurt. Of course they're going to be devastated, because they, you know, of course, like, they're going to, all that's going to happen because they feel like, oh my goodness, we were betrayed and dude, no, boo-boo, get that boy his money.
Get that boy his money. I know that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hip-hop has officially turned 50. There has been a number of celebrations, one of which is coming here to Delaware. And Miami rappers are upset that they were not included in the hip-hop celebration that is going on across the country.
And they need to be.
But should they be upset, or should they do their own, concert? Because that's, you know, a lot of the concerts that are going on across the nation are going on with the rappers that are in the area. I mean, minus the fact that Snoop Dogg came from Cali to New York to kick one of the biggest concerts that the Hip Hop 50 is doing. There are approximately, I believe, the last time I checked, there were like approximately 42 concerts lined up to celebrate Hip Hop 50.
I would say they need to do their own, because I think Luke is the one that should be leading the charge. I think they should do their own. I think that when you have legacy in the game, you do your own thing. And I think, but again, I think it's with them. It could be finances. It could be, how do we do this? How do we make this happen? You know, hip hop is 50. Whether you came from Florida, California, Texas, New Orleans, South Carolina, you know, wherever you came from, I think that you, that the ability to make it work in your area of where you came from is there, the potential is there. I just think they just need to figure it out and maybe all of them, Trina, Trick Daddy, Luke, who else? You better at this than I am. I'm my mind
too
goes
loud,
to so many different Too Loud Crew.
They want to throw in extra Florida area rappers. I mean, you got Pitbull, you got you got Rick Ross, DJ Khaled, you got Ace Hood, Kodak Black, you got Sean Kingston, you got Plies, you got what's my boy, the comedian slash rapper from Tampa, Duval. You got Little Duval,
Bobby
Smurda, you got the Ying Yang Twins, Jackie O. I mean, there's a lot
So they have a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of rappers that...
Is Kaya from Florida?
Huh?
Kaya, is she from Florida?
Kaya's a country star now.
The country star? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were not doing that too. I mean, the only thing she had was My Neck, My Back. Who's really going to bring her onto a...
I mean, but I think it's important because that's so... I mean... Regardless of, she may have been a one-hit wonder, but that song still resonates. That song still resonates in this generation. So I think that they should try to do their own thing and put together their own concert to celebrate their 50 years. Because you have all those artists you just named.
Mm-hmm.
All those artists could come together and put together something.
Yeah, I mean, they could definitely use kind
in
of like
in Miami. Yeah.
What I would love to see for Hip Hop 50 is I would love to see a show, not necessarily a concert, but it could be one, where all of the hip hop mixtape DJs come together with turntables all around the stage and they all go head to head and make a live mixtape. Tell me that won't be hot. What?
That'd be hot. I agree.
I'm telling you, like, that would blow the minds off of America just to see, like, the balls. Oh, God, there were so many DJs when I was growing up, you know, that were fire with mixtapes. And I definitely would love to see, like, a hip-hop tour with just DJs. I don't think it's ever done.
Right.
Kid Capri.
Right.
I know. Get on your Dean, man. But, yeah, speaking of hip-hop, Junior Mafia rapper Chico Del Vec has reportedly passed away. Definitely sending up our condolences to the entire hip-hop community. If anybody knows Junior Mafia, they debuted their first album in 95 on Conspiracy. The album was known, the album consisted of Junior Mafia members, Notorious B.I.G., Lil' Kim, Lil' C's, Bugsy, Capone, Lil' Brown, Larceny, Trice, and Cut the Maniac, along with Chico Del Vec. Get Money and Player's Anthem was two of the hottest hits off of the Junior Mafia LP.
Get Money.
I had to make sure Marcus knew something I was talking about here. But we are definitely sorry to hear of his passing, as well as the Hip Hop Godfather who passed away on this week. And there was another passing away of this week.
Magoo.
Of Timbaland and Magoo. Whoa, I mean, Magoo is a monster. If you really listen to his lyrics, Magoo is a monster. It's so crazy at how many people, hip-hop, the music community as a whole, has taken a hit this week with just the loss of major, major influencers who changed the game of music. You know, Magoo brought the whole Virginia sound. Junior Mafia created a whole gangster rap sound for Harlem and Brooklyn. you know, and then the godfather of hip hop, who was also a dynamic person in the music industry and acting industry as a whole, whose name is just slipping my head.
Clarence Avant.
That whole Netflix documentary out that talks about the people that this man has helped found when it comes to music, alone, like Ella Fitzgerald and some of the greats and the pioneers of music, and not even that, just music, but then also took it to acting and helped establish African Americans as a major force in acting. So we definitely keep everybody who has passed away, family, in our prayers. Gospel industry. I know Philadelphia had 4 major preachers pass away in 1 week in Philadelphia. So I just feel like, wow. You know, and speaking of music, Keke Palmer and Usher will be reuniting in his new music video called Boyfriend.
We're about to get Keke in trouble. We're about to get Keke in trouble.
The shade is real. That's all I'm saying. The shade is real. And there is a snippet that includes him. Somebody said that your boyfriend is looking for me. Usher, we have known you to be many things. A fighter has never been one of them, player. The shade is real.
Oh, well.
The shade is
your
real.
Boyfriend is looking, your boyfriend is looking for me. Wow.
Yeah, somebody said your boyfriend is looking for me. The shade is 1,000. The shade is on 1,000 right now. And Keke Palmer's like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
He's here for it. He's here for every bit of it.
Absolutely.
He's here for every bit of it.
What was the hot topic we were talking about earlier that you said you wanted to bring up?
Oh, I forgot. You know, I'm old.
It's official.
That.
It's official. He has admitted it online. On live.
Yeah. There is one hot topic I do want to bring up. So apparently, somebody decided to cyber hack my school district network. We had to all change our passwords and had to go through that. Now I can't even get my account. At the moment, I did change my password. So yeah, so I'll hopefully they cyber hacked payroll and gave us all a little bit of extra in our check.
Some kids said they're not coming back to school right now. That's all it is. When it's all said and done, it's some kids. Some kids said, "Hell no, we're not going back to school." Summer went too fast, and we didn't have a summer. It rained the whole summer.
But some of us were attacked, and we'll be receiving emails. Later, some of us had us that were actually attacked by the cyber hack, and then some of us were not. But then they asked us to, hey, why not? Yeah, go ahead and change your password. We'll see what's going to be the repercussions of this. Probably be a long time. Probably like a few months.
A few months, you think?
To see the repercussions, yeah. I think so because it was like over, it's over. Let's see. Let me get the...
Wow. Like a few months, though?
About 4,500 of its 180,000 users accounts, which mostly belong to employees, were affected according to the release from the school district.
Wow. Wow. That, yeah, that might be.
So they're
going
to have to go,
Yeah, so they're going to have to go through all of these emails and find out who was attacked and who received, you know, yeah, they're going to have to go through that.
I feel you. Wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're also praying for the people of Maui. There have been wildfires, I'm sorry, that have killed at least 99 people in Maui County, Hawaii. One of the only things that was not destroyed, believe it or not, was the Maria Lanakila Catholic Church in Lahaina. While thousands of things were destroyed around it, the church went unscathed. When I say unscathed, I mean it has not been whatsoever. The church built in 1846 remains standing tall. As a sign of hope for the people of Maui, the Reverend Monsoor, I think is how they pronounce that, Terrence
Monsignor.
Terrence Wannabe says it was an incredible miracle that the church survived even as nearby buildings were destroyed. I'm looking at the pictures. So online, they have the pictures where you can look behind the church, like to both sides of the church, and literally see like everything around it burnt down.
Wow.
Yet there's just this one church that has not touched. And so it kind of took people back to the 9/11 attack, where everything around the Twin Towers were touched except for St. Paul's Chapel. You know, I just believe, and this is probably the churchiest thing I'm going to say ever on this show, but I just believe that we are in a season that God is really showing us that he still has the power to do what we think he won't.
Yeah.
And I promise that's probably going to be the churchiest thing I ever say.
You won't say.
On the lifeline of this show. Like, I just feel like we have taken a lot of things for granted, and I feel that we have gotten above ourselves, and you know, we missed the mark somehow. And I just believe that that is probably going to be that God is just saying, I still have the power to destroy everything and anything, and it won't take me but a breath. Like,
right.
Blink of an eye, I'll shut your whole state down. And so, you know, even if we look at this, the number of tornado watches that have taken place this season in states that don't get tornadoes. You know, like, that alone would tell me, hey, let's get it together.
Right.
So, yeah. What can I say? But, yeah, that's probably the most churchiest thing you'll hear me say on this show. you know, every now and again, I'll throw it out there. I'll throw something out there to let y'all know I still got it. Any other hot topics you got?
No, I don't.
Okay.
When everyone then, as we're coming upon the close of a summer vacation for all of those of us that are educators, I just want everyone to be safe and go back in the classroom refreshed and ready to hit it, so we can get rid, so we can close the 2023-2024 school year down with a bang.
That's all I'm saying. We can get done.
Yep.
Yeah, I am not 1,000% looking forward to going back to work. That is probably the first time I have said that in a minute.
I mean, I wasn't at first, and then at first, I think I said I'm ready to go back, but I think one thing about it is that, you know, when you enjoy what you do, like many of us do. We enjoy what we do, so we don't have a problem with it. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. I wish that my students got a little bit more time. I wish we was not necessarily going back the 28th, but the kids got a little bit of break and were actually able to come back on the 20th on after Labor Day, because I feel like I'm not necessarily going to be prepared for my classroom and prepared. So the first week of school is always kind of like the getting to know you period.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily, yeah.
Getting to know you.
Right. But the cool thing is I'm keeping
that in the senior class.
I think I will. The good thing is I'm teaching seniors again, so I'm excited about that. So.
In other words,
and I get a working smart board.
Hey, let's go power to the smart board.
So what it looks like is the first two periods of the day when May comes around, I'll have two free periods.
When May comes around?
When May comes around. Yeah, because the seniors are gone. The first two. So my first two periods to be free, I'm going to teach third period. So on B days, it looks like my – so here's how it'll go. In May, my first three periods, I'll have nothing because that's my third period, my planning period. And fourth period is my pass out feet. And then on the opposite day, my first two periods, and then my fourth period, I'll have nothing.
Maybe I need to go teach seniors in high school. I didn't think about that. Love it.
The only thing about teaching seniors is I had my first, this was my first year teaching seniors, but it was also bittersweet because some of them I had when they were ninth graders, and then some of them I have for the first time. So I had a great group of kids, and I love them very dearly. So now I kind of miss them because I don't know what I'm getting this year, and I don't know what I'm just not I'm excited, but I just don't know what I'm getting. I just don't know. So we're gonna make it through the school year.
They coming in as hellraisers automatically this year.
Nah.
We're gonna be in the building.
We gonna set the guidelines. Nah, we ain't having that.
We babies, kids, you
don't die. Yeah. They baby kids, suburban style.
Oh, you good then. You are.
Yeah, they
right.
Baby kids, they're suburban style.
Just got to teach them how to be excited for the fact that, I think for me, my senior year, I was excited the whole school year because I knew for a fact that it was my last year and I wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
I was just I ain't got to see y'all after this year.
For some of them, that's how it was. For some of them, they were like that. The unfortunate part is, like I was saying, teaching first period can be really an issue because we have a teacher shortage and we also have a bus driver shortage. So some of the issues of transportation, if I catch a school bus, my school bus don't get me to school until 9 o'clock, I'm late for my first period class. So I'm teaching first period on both days. I'm teaching first period and second period on both days. So on A, because we have the A and B schedule. So I'm teaching first period both days. So I'm more concerned about my first period students. I'm not as concerned about my second period students as much because they'll have a little bit more leeway because they would have been in school. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. I'm excited. That's all.
I heard that. Y'all make sure y'all take care of my boys. So I don't have to come down to DC and knock one of y'all kids' head off. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. My brother called me complaining. I'm coming down. I'm knocking off heads. I don't care whose child you is.
Oh, no knocking off heads. It's not that serious.
Knocking off. Care whose child you are. Come down and hit you with an old-fashioned Jamaican back slap.
That's funny.
All right, let's get into tonight's episode topic. For the night, tonight's topic is I got me. I got me. Like, the reason I came up with this topic, I was watching, well, I haven't really been watching TV, but I've been watching a lot of things online, and I've been watching a lot of things as it relates to school. And then listening to the young people who walk past my house every day the whole summer. You know, the ring bell will actually bless your life. But kids today, I'm going to say it's like that millennial, Gen Z area. When did it become okay to worry about, like, to rely on people to tell you how you should feel and what you should do and what you should not do and how you should not do it? And, like, I'm confused. I'm not going to hold you. I'm confused on when, as people, it became cool to just, we relate everything and everybody to, well, my friends feel, well, this person feels, well, this person said, well, this person, like, I really, y'all, I really want people, because, you know, if when you do this as kids is one thing, but when you do this as adults, you're limiting yourself. And the issue I have with today is that there are so many people who really don't understand how great they are because they have limited themselves tremendously from simply being great. And so, you know, what brought me to this, like, we grow up, it's bad enough when you're a child, you got the weight of the world, you know, you got to please your, you gotta try to please your parents, so you go to school and you try to keep yourself out. Well, at least that's how it was when I was a child, because nowadays, some of these kids come to school and they don't care if they pass or fail, they come in school because I got to be, they don't even understand that they messing up even a chance of having. But you got to try to please your parents. You got to try to please, you know, family members that you hold high in your life. For me, it was my granddad. Everything I did as a way to make him happy. You know, you got to try to please other people. But when you grow up and you keep that same mentality, you will find yourself always feeling like you let somebody down. But never have you take the time, have you taken the time to say, you know what, I didn't do this for them, I did this for me. I didn't do this because I wanted to make someone happy. I did this because it's what I felt like in my heart I can accomplish. You know, like when I wrote my book, I didn't write it to help nobody for real. I wrote it to help myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I felt like if it can help me, then it could help somebody else. So I was like, you know, hey, let's actually put this in the book format. In fact, I really wanted to just journal. And something was like, nah, I'll just, you know, put this in the book format. People need to read this. People need to hear this. People need to understand this. And so I feel like nowadays, like, we miss the fact that we miss the power of self-esteem, like esteem of your damn self. Like, people don't pump their stuff up. I ain't never seen a time where so many grown ass people are depressed over the most mediocre things. Like, oh, the sky is gray. I'm depressed today. Oh my God, I gotta go to work. I'm depressed today. Oh my God, I woke up in the same house. I'm depressed today. Damn it, move. But like, get yourself together. I declare, my pet peeve is somebody who every single day has a bad day. It's 365 days of the year. Your ass ain't found one good day. Even on your birthday, it's a bad day. Like, what? And I found myself asking myself, like, who did you hang with growing up? Like, because my crew, like, and I give it, like, you know, we're like early millennials. But my crew, we were go-getters. Like, I started Click Entertainment in high school. Like, Click Entertainment consisted of many components in high school. But I had people who were go-getters. Like, yo, you know, do this, do that. We used to go to school, me and my boy Brian, we used to go to school on Valentine's Day and give people, you know, good and hair well wasn't going to have a Valentine a gift. You know, like we would go to Walgreens the whole week of Valentine's week because we both worked and we both found out how to run a business through the jobs that we had. And we would go to Walgreens and buy the biggest stuffed animals and chocolate. We would go to Boyd's and get flowers. And we would go to school the next day, and both of us would make sure we gave at least five people that we knew good and hell well ain't have a Valentine. These little heathens today, oh, they don't care how you feel. And most of them, I learned just from observing, they don't celebrate their friends and family no more. They don't, like, if you're doing something that's great, they don't celebrate you. They're like, oh, you dry. Because you don't want to be like the rest of these fools out here.
Mm-mm. This generation has become very self-absorbed.
That's a good word for it.
This generation has become, it's about self. And there are times it has to be about self-care and about yourself, but there also has to be times where you learn how to celebrate others and learn. And if it's not about, like, I have noticed, I even said this about, I had to tell someone this, how come every time we talk on the phone, you always talk about you? You never ask how I'm doing. You never say, how was your day? You never ask me about me. You always talk about you, and what your needs are. And it's great to do that at times, but it's also great to learn how to appreciate and understand others. We are the generation, my generation and your generation as well, thank God. Well, no, because you were born in the 80s, correct? We learn how to appreciate people and celebrate people because that's what we grew up with. We grew up with families that celebrated each other, families that got together. Christmas, this is why Christmas and Thanksgiving are a little hard for me because I'm so used to being with my family. I'm so used to Aunt Barbara's cooking Thanksgiving this year, Miss Josephine's doing Christmas, and then flip-flop the next year. You know? So
yeah.
I don't know how do we do this thing where we're separate so much. So for me, the self-esteem comes from they didn't have parents who told them they loved them or told them that they were good because their parents didn't know how to do it and their parents didn't know what to do or how to say it. I noticed that a lot of my students, they don't have high self-esteem because their parents don't say it to them. And that's where it starts. It starts with your parents. It starts with those that are around you. This is why when you get a teacher like me that says, great job, I see so much potential in you, and tell them, it frustrates me when I see your potential, but I see you doing other things, it wears them out because no one has ever really said that to me. I often say that myself too. You know, you and I were talking about my musician for my ministry, and I was saying, I see their potential, but sometimes I get a little frustrated with them because they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But I know one of their backstories. And one of their backstories is their mother just wasn't that great. She didn't acknowledge the greatness in them. And when your parents don't acknowledge the greatness in you, it's kind of hard because it goes back to when we're kids and our parents don't like our – so your parents, they're not together, but they created you, and then you look like your father. And then your mother, who can't stand your father, tells you, you ain't never going to be nothing. You're just like your daddy. He was a nobody. He was nothing. And see, that it starts from there. And then, but then we get mad when the child is an adult and said, but mom, you said I would like my daddy and I ain't going to never be nothing.
I believe that should be the one time we give kids the exception to smack the piss out of their parents. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, that's the one time. When you have a parent who ain't accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, and I had to change what I was going to say. But when you have a parent who has not accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, and they put that negativity on you because they not dirt, that should be the one time this is how I feel. I won't say this is how everybody else should feel. This is how I feel. That should be the one time I have a right to smack the tips out of my parents. Why? Because your job is to make sure your child don't turn out like you. Even the parents who were outstanding in life, even the parents who understood what life was about and they made the most out of their life and they are successful, you still want your child to be better than you. Like, that should be part of your child's morning aspirations your child's morning words of kindness to their self. You know, you don't teach our kids how to speak over themselves. We don't teach our kids how to, because, one, we couldn't do it. So because we couldn't do
right.
it, we expect our children and our young people to fail. You know, I look at even growing up, you know, I was always the one that, you know, oh, God, here he go again, trying something else. Oh, God, here he go again. You know, because I always ran businesses. I had a flower shop. I did cooking. I sold water ice out of the house, you know. Before I even started my first business, you know, and it was always something, you know, if I made the newspaper for something, it was like, he think he all that, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, damn, why can't y'all just be happy for somebody? Like, y'all are the reason kids kill themselves, because you ain't dirt, and you expect me to be dirt like you. Like, give me a break. Like, we have to do better, especially in the Black community, and I'm going to say it just like that, or even in the low-income communities. We have to do better with speaking life into our children. Y'all may grow up piss poor, but it don't mean it's always going to be that way. It don't mean your kids are always going to be piss poor. Your kids are piss poor because you refuse to get off your lazy behind and go get a job. But it starts with yourself. Like, I believe if we teach our kids how to see themselves, it will shift an entire community. Pastors, teachers, professors at the college, parents, this year, I want your focus to be to teach your children how to speak into themselves and end it with, after everything they are, they can end it with, I got me. I'm going to get somebody to write this book. I got me. My Mamie just wrote a powerful book, Sincerely Love Self. I don't know how she great take it higher, but all I know is if anything, she doing anything like she did this year, I'm going to have to throw a dictionary, because you have to learn to love yourself. I don't understand, you know, we don't understand how to love ourselves basis that we don't love, we don't teach love no more. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care how you put at it. You know, we don't teach love, so our kids don't know how to love. You don't gotta, you can't buy love. Let's start there. You know, you can't buy love, you can't force love, you can't set it up to fail. Literally, love has to come one way or another. It has to come genuinely, and it has to be something that is taught at a young age so that our kids can stop growing up looking for love in all the wrong places.
What you're saying is very key, because I feel like, and you know how I like to always kind of throw church in here, but I'm going to throw it in here right now. I feel like one of the things of why we have so many people starting ministries and becoming pastors and not really understanding who they are in the body of Christ is because of what you just said. They don't love themselves. They haven't learned how to love themselves. They haven't learned how to respect themselves. They haven't learned how to pour into themselves, because they're looking for everybody else to pour into them. They're looking for everybody else to, I sound like I'm preaching. Let me stop. They sound like they're looking for somebody else. They're looking for other means, and they're looking at it the wrong way. Like, you have to be the first partaker of love. You have to be the first partaker of love. You have to be the first partaker of taking this into you and figuring out how to make this thing called love work. While you were talking, the song of the, when we were at karaoke and the band was, who was singing The Greatest Love of All? The man was singing The Greatest Love of All.
The guy with the
one of the
children.
Yeah. The lyrics, one of the parts of the lyrics said, learning to love yourself, that is the greatest love of all. And we miss that part because we don't love ourselves. And then we get into these relationships of someone not loving us holistically and healthy. We don't have healthy relationships. We don't have healthy role models. I remember saying to myself, my grandparents was my most, when it came to marriage, when it came to being with someone, my grandparents, actually, both my grandparents, my grandparents, Sarah and Richard and Margaret and Coley, they were the stability for people being together. But I'm going to say this, and my family listening, I love you, but I'm going to just tell this truth. But it was very dysfunctional as well. So we stay with people for longevity, but we also get into these places of dysfunction as well. And so we got to learn, love ourselves enough to know when loving someone, we got to have enough self-esteem to know that loving someone and sometimes in the manner in which we love them can be toxic, and we need to leave it.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing we don't do. Like, I admire people. I admire my mother. And I'm family, that if you're listening, I apologize. But this is my truth, and I'm just telling my truth. I admire my mother for leaving that abusive marriage. It took her a while. It took her a long time. But she finally made that decision to leave that abusive marriage.
I feel you.
So often we got to get to a place of loving ourselves enough to where we leave the abuse and we leave the situations that are toxic. We leave these people behind that are toxic and don't mean us any good. We leave them behind to go to what's best for us. And sometimes that's difficult. Like, I get it. That's difficult when you don't know how to do that because of your self-esteem. A lot of the self-esteem issues that people have came from these toxic behaviors, these toxic relationships.
Yeah, and I say it 1,000 times over, like, sometimes we need to stop allowing, allowing people to put us in toxic situations. And I always say that there's too many times we are allowing people to put us into toxic situations because that's where they choose to live.
Right.
It's like you choose to be toxic, so you put me into a toxic situation because you chose to be toxic. And I do feel like, unfortunately, that is the makeup of today's society. And it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna hold you. Like, it really sucks that this is what you choose to do, and this is who you choose to this is who you choose to follow, and these are the people you choose to keep in your life. But let's just be real. Many of us will never understand. Like, many people will die never knowing how great they were because
right.
of the toxicity they picked up growing up.
Right.
And to me, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, when you have been toxic your entire life, or you've been around toxic people your entire life to the point that they control everything about you, you are a sad person. And I feel bad because many people think it's okay. Well, I do this because this is what my mother wanted me to do, or I do this because this is what my father wanted me to do, or I do this because this is what my significant other always said I should do. When do you do something that makes you not just happy, but also makes you grow up?
Right.
You know, and I say it, like, for the life of me, you know, love my family, but I would never be like some of my family members because they don't understand who they are. They don't understand how great they are. And they were never fortunate to understand what success looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're consistently stuck in one place in their life, and they feel like, oh, this is how it's always going to be because it is what it is. No, it's like this because you have not gotten yourself together to actually take the time to love you.
Right. And I noticed that many of us with family issues or family trials, or it starts from a generation. So it started with mama. It started with this person. It started with that person. And then it never gets corrected. And so I only speak for myself, but my self-esteem issue started from a feeling of rejection, not understanding why certain things were happening in my family life, and not feeling adequate. Like, I never felt adequate. I never felt like I, as much as my grandmother was telling me and encouraging me, but I didn't really feel it because I always felt something was missing. And there are times now as an adult I feel inadequate in certain spaces in my life. I feel inadequate here. I feel inadequate there. But it all comes from what I experienced in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced in my self-esteem, like, I never thought I was attractive because the girls looked at my brother and said, oh, my brother was fine. And Demont was this and Demont was that. He was cute. They looked at me, I was the ugly. You know, I had to deal with that. I had to live in the shadow of, even though I'm the oldest, here's my brother who's taller than I am. The girls find him attractive. This happens. He just,
he just looked like the shining star, you know, and here mm-hmm. I am, I got to live in his shadow. And sometimes that plays on you when, you know, when you're a part of a sibling group, you have siblings, and your siblings are picked over you, or your siblings are, you know, or your, you know, your siblings are doted on the most, you know.
Yeah,
so it plays on self-esteem, definitely.
I said that can even be people like that don't have siblings. That can even be like from your friend angle sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like
oh
y'all go,
goodness,
you go to
yeah.
the club and all these friends are always the first ones getting snatched dancing, you know, dance with somebody and you're never dancing with anybody and you guys, you know, that could come from a number, that self-esteem there. And we find that more with younger people nowadays, especially because, you know, nowadays they say, you know, it's always every crew got one ugly person, and you know, and they look to see who they can point out as the ugly person of the crew. You know,
right.
Nowadays it's worse, I think, than it was even when we were young. You know, because they don't care nowadays. Like nowadays, it's like
right.
it's a joy to bring hurt to somebody else's esteem.
Right.
So, yeah, I get it.
And now we have a thing where people feel like they're, you know, they feel as if they're missing something, and it plays in their self-esteem. I think that we need to help people develop to a better place concerning their self-esteem. Because so many people are, they're crying for attention. If you really look
yeah.
at it, people are crying for
yeah.
attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the cry out is
attention.
Not healthy at all. That's
yeah.
the part that concerns me the most. The cry out is not healthy at all. And I'm like, wow. You know, like just, the unhealthiness of it all scares me because it's like, if you don't give me the attention, I'm going to somehow figure out what manipulation I need to do to gain
right.
the attention. Because if I don't get the attention, my depression is going to jump. You know, or my anxiety is going to jump, or I'm just not going to be happy with myself. And so now
right.
I got to change how I look. I got to add, you know, I got to add air to my ass. I got to, you know, I got to, you know, make my lips look like this person's. You know, I got to, you know, change how my, you know, change my eye colors or change the length of my hair because
right.
it's just, it gets attention. You know, back in our day, Vanessa Huxtable would stuff her bra. You know, to get
yes, to get attention,
you know,
and
yeah.
some of us are getting the wrong attention and wondering why we're labeled as easy, or you know, as
mm-hmm.
what we remember we talked about what the word for thought is, a thought,
yeah.
or it's because again we're looking for the wrong attention.
Yeah, yeah, and not only are we looking
we're getting it.
Yes, and then. Once you get it, that you know the people that you did all this for still don't want to bother you.
Yep.
That's the part that blows my mind. You didn't did all this. You didn't did all this fake. You didn't put all this fake stuff on, and that nigga still think you ugly.
Right.
So it's like now, what do you do? So you know, because Ray Ray still don't think you cute. Ray still want to go date Shamika over you because you know because Shamika was giving up the first day. You know he didn't have to take her out on dates and treat her nice and talk to her kind and wait for her to say she was ready. You know he just showed up to the house. You know and
right.
she spread them high and wide and here you are. You know, and you making Ray wait. Ray Ray don't like you. So, you know, that to me it goes back to you know, raising, to me, it goes back to raising our children correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you teaching your kids as parents? Like, what are you teaching your kids now? I had someone ask, you know, how do we teach our kids that they are more than enough? And I said, well, first of all, be the example. Like, you can't expect your child to be, you know, you can't expect your child to be in the house and not a thought when all they see is you thoughting, and then you make it look like it's cute. You know, baby, I'm gonna have to send you over next door for a minute because mama gotta get the money for your shoes. Like, hold what? So that's my take on things. You know, you gotta have yourself. You gotta have esteem of yourself to know that you're more than enough. You're better than that. You know. My cousin said, you know, she got jumped because people always said we think we better than them. And I said, who the hell was thinking? You know, and so she said, what you mean? And I said, exactly what I asked you. Who the hell was thinking? I didn't think I was better than anybody. I knew damn well I was better than somebody. You know, because I don't have to do all this to be successful. I just be me. And if being me means that I won't be around a certain group or a certain crew, I'm okay with that. I lost damn near. I stopped being around damn near every person I grew up around because I hung with people who were. With the young man that became my brother who was younger than me, and it turned everybody from wanting to call me their friend, and I was okay with that. Now granted, 90% of the people I hung around growing up were my family, blood related, and they were like, oh, we not hanging with him because he's too busy trying to be a teacher, he's too busy playing with, you know, younger people, he don't want to play football. And I'm like, that's cool, you know. So by the end of high school, y'all had sex and no money. But here it is. I had three businesses, you know, and a job. And I chose right. not to do sports. And I was okay with that. Do I watch sports? Yeah. Do I participate in sports? No. Because I chose a different path. You know, but here's the other thing. You know, it's like, oh, we don't hang with Dre. Dre don't do what we do. You right. Like, y'all passing hoes around like Similac. You know, and it was like, I refuse. I don't share my food. Do y'all really think I'm going to share somebody's coochie? Not knowing what y'all do? No, I'm good. And I'll be different. I'll be everything you need me to be. And I feel like this is what we need to teach our kids, because I took a hit even from the home front, because I used to be like everybody else. You know, and so that was like so much of my childhood trauma came from just wanting to be me and being okay with being me. You know, it's like everybody else playing football. His ass around here, he with the fake child. And I was like, yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, his parents are teaching me how to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do as an adult. His mom and dad make sure I eat. You know, when I'm with them, they don't say, you know, oh, you got to go home to eat. You know, they believe, you know, we all eat together at this table. I learned values from his house. I learned how to think for myself at his house. I learned how to be creative from hanging around him. I learned, you know, how to understand that my thoughts have power, not just my words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to this day, that is the one, the Jamar and Jermaine to this day are the one friends I have never asked myself, do these people my back?
Right.
You know, not one time have I had to ask myself, you know, and not even just do these people, but even does this family really have my back? I never had to ask that question. So I feel like, you know, learn who's in your corner, but learn why someone is in your corner. Learn why somebody's in your circle.
Right. That's important. Learn the people in your circle.
Yes. Evaluate them. You know, are these people really healthy for me? Because everybody ain't healthy for you. Family and friends.
That's right.
You know, just because they family don't mean they healthy. So you got to learn, you know, Cousin Sherry, you know, that's your girl. But Cousin Sherry really can't stand you because at the end of the day, you know, her kids didn't turn out like you. What movie was that? The Cookout, where the mom got mad because her son didn't get drafted to the NBA when the whole time this nigga was pre-med. And like that movie blew my mind because I was like, yo, if this ain't how black people are, like, I quit. Just from that one part of the movie. Like, you can't stand this one person in your family because nephew, when they got an NBA career, when they bought a big house, and you came to the cookout to prove a point. Even had to prove a point because your child was in college pre-freaking med, and the whole time she didn't even know her son was getting a degree in medical science. Then when she found out, the first thing she says, "Ooh, a doctor? You counting the money? How? Like, do you know how many years of college it takes to be a doctor?"
Right.
I was just like, "Yo, where do they find this airhead at?" You know, and thank God for not Loretta Devine. What's the other national mother on TV?
Jennifer Lewis.
Jennifer Lewis. Thank God for her because it was just like, you know, you could tell she wanted to be like, you dumbass fool. You know, but I just, people, listen, be yourself and have your own back. And when you do that, it will blow your mind. I that's all I got for tonight. We just want you guys to really just be okay with being you. You know,
definitely be okay with being you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like Mark Maurice,
be okay. It is okay. Huh?
And I was saying, like, you're one of the greatest people I've met, but you're okay with being you. You know, like,
but it took me a long time to get here. I'm not going to sit here and lie. It took me a long time because I had to unlearn all the things that I learned about what my family thought about me, what I thought about me, and what people thought about me. Once I unlearned those three areas of life, I became a much better person. Do I struggle sometimes? Yes, I do. We're not going to lie. Struggle sometimes. But I love who I've become, and I love who I've become me. Because I feel like who I've become is just the tip of the iceberg to who I'm becoming. Because there's still a lot of room for growth. And sometimes we don't grow because we get stuck in one area, and I'm glad that I'm not stuck in one area. I'm glad that everything I've learned or everything I've dealt with or had to relearn and redo and recharge and rebuild, you know, because that happens. Sometimes you get in a place of you have to rebuild and you have to regrow and you have to redo some things. Those things are not bad.
Right.
Those areas of your life are not bad. And don't beat yourself up because you have to. You have to.
Yeah. And truthfully, like, that's how the show came about. We, you know, Javon included and Maurice, you know, we learn, we encourage each other almost daily with, you know, how are you? I'm just checking in on you. I'm making sure you okay. You don't seem well. You know, it's crazy because we can read a post and can tell from a post that one of us is off.
Yep.
You know, and I feel like that's it today. If a young person can get them a brother that, you know, or even a sister that's not from their family, you have something valuable. And I'll say that for forever in my life. If you can call somebody who's not your blood relation a sibling, you know, or you have a golden jewel, a golden nugget, and a diamond in your hand, and that is the person you are. You ought to not just cover in prayer, but that is the person you ought to thank God for every day, because they're not scared to tell you about yourself. They're not scared to tell you when you're wrong. They're not scared to encourage you. They're not scared to tell you, baby, that relationship ain't for you. They're not scared to tell you, you can make it. My brothers, Kevin and Duke, Sir Duke, just started his own seasoning line. You know, like, I'm proud of every single person in life that I have had the pleasure to call a sibling. I'm proud of my natural siblings, but I'm proud of the people who are not blood that I have been blessed to be able to call a sibling, because people who know me know I just started a relationship with my natural siblings. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I knew them, and I developed a relationship or a bond over the years from my brother, my little brother. That's my lifeline right there. I ain't even gonna hold y'all. But the ones I had a chance to grow up with and meet over the years, and I'm like, you know, I don't introduce them and say, this is my friend. I introduce them and say, this is my sister. And when I do that, like, this is my brother Maurice, or this is my brother Mice, or this is my brother Duke. Like, when I do my party, I already told Mice and Duke, they don't have an option. I don't care what plane you need to get on. You need to bring your behindies coming into Delaware. You know, because we have to make it a necessity to see each other face to face, not just talk to each other over the phone, but I need to visibly, you know, to know that you're good. And I feel like more friends need to make that a habit. Don't call me your friend and you okay with seeing me when you get a chance. You know, because you're exactly that. You're a friend. But we have to make it a priority to see and be around those we love. And we have to first love ourselves. And to, since it, as Mamie so eloquently put in, and I got to get, we're going to get her on the show in season 3. We must sincerely love ourselves. Love yourself without unequivocally, no doubt in your mind. I love many people, but baby, I would never love you as much as I love me.
Yes, right.
You not, you know, and it don't make you conceited. It does not make you conceited or bougie because you love yourself. It makes you confident in knowing I know who I am, and everybody can't say that. You know, there are people out here that are celebrities and are famous people that I truly believe in my heart still can't tell you who they are as a person. Some of y'all just pay $1,500, $1,600 a ticket. But you just love yourself and have your own back. Have your own back. I'm done for the night, Maurice. In your hands.
I'm finito. Again, join us every Tuesday at 7:30. As Dre says, we're two shows into our season 2 finale, and then we're going to go on a break, and we will return in October. So please feel free to join us here every Tuesday at 7:30.
as we give you the best hot topics, we give you the best topics. If you would like to give us ideas for shows, I always get this wrong, so you might have to help. You can, what's our email address again?
TheBrothersPodcast@gmail.com
Or you can inbox us personally on Facebook and give us your show ideas, and we're willing to listen and to take your show ideas.
Inbox the show on Facebook, The Brothers Podcast. Our Facebook handle. Please inbox us on Facebook, and then don't forget
and Instagram.
And Instagram, yes. And when you listen live, if you sign in through your browser and not your phone, believe it or not, you are able to chat with the show while we are actually on air. So we would love to get your ideas. We do have our first prize. It's a local prize for Delaware, unfortunately. But we do have our first prize for season 3. That has come in. We're also working on getting some other, we're working on getting some other prizes for both the tri-state and DMV area, just to make sure that our listening audiences are able to get prizes. If you have a nonprofit or you have a for-profit company and you would like us to advertise your event, please do also reach out to us through our Facebook page or our email, thebrotherspodcast@gmail.com or The Brothers Podcast on Facebook, The Brothers Podcast Media on IG. We want to hear from you. We have great, great specials for nonprofits and for for-profits. And I will say, if what you're doing is something that benefits the community. And now let me say this. I don't mean if you are having service. Because at your service, baby, you raising the offering. But if you're doing something that benefits the community, a clothes drive, a book bag drive, a food drive, you're adopting a family, reach out to us and let us know, and we will advertise that at events. Why? Because we are community people and we believe in giving back to the community. Once again, that does not mean a church service. That does not mean a church event. And I don't have a problem saying it. If the church event is benefiting the community, which means the church is seen absolutely nothing back in return, we have no problem advertising your event. If you're seeing something in return, we gonna ask for something in return. It's as simple as that. Praise, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But nonetheless, we are taking this show to another level. We are now just barely over, I want to say 100 and some change listeners. And my plan is to triple that for season 3. So it's going to be a whole nother aspect, baby. And unfortunately, I'm not looking for I'm looking for what is best for The Brothers Podcast when it's all said and done. There are a lot of people who have a lot to say about how we do this show. I kind of say to those folk, there are other podcasts on the air. Turn to one.
And when we started this podcast, we did not start this podcast with a churchy feel in mind, because we understand that we are, as much as we are pastors, as much as we are whatever our titles are inside of the church, we also understand that outside of the church, we are people. We also understand we are people inside and outside the church. So whatever we are, we're real. And this is not a podcast that is churchy. Do we discuss topics concerning and revolving the church? We do. But we also talk about topics that affect us every day, because we also have to understand we must have a balance. So we're not that typical. So this podcast was not created to talk about church all the time. We'll talk about church issues. This podcast was talk about issues, topics that are interesting to everybody. So
yes.
So if you don't like the way we do it, there are other podcasts that might interest you. Go find those.
Okay. Absolutely. As much as y'all tired of this church, we tired of this church too.
Okay.
You know, we
can go on a list. When we talk about it, we're not being bitter either. We're just telling you from a point of view of where we are.
Right. Right.
Because many people don't understand is that there are some people, yes, they are bitter. I promise you, they are bitter about certain things. But when we tell it, we're not coming from a place of bitterness, because we want to see change.
Absolutely.
That's what this podcast is for. It's for change.
And we not scared to talk about the things they don't want to talk about in the church, because at the end of the day, we in the church too. We just don't fear nobody.
Right.
We say it with our chests. Like but we do it in order. We don't do anything messy. We do it in order. We shady. Don't get it twisted. I learned how to be the best shadiness of me, because I learned from Maurice. But
really,
listen, we real, and we will discuss with the church. Does not talk about in the church without the segregating itself so that they can talk about topics that ain't real.
Right.
So if you don't like
right.
what we talk about, there's this thing on your button on your screen that says other podcasts. Click on
click.
And learn of them. You know,
and we will not be mad.
Keyword TD Jakes, Sarah Jakes, Cora Jakes, Mike Todd, they all got their own podcast. If you want to be preachy, go to one of their podcasts. I love every last one of the preacher's name, but maybe you're not going to get that at the brothers. I promise you that. You're going to get an unadulterated topic of the night, and if it's something you don't like, I might say something that offends you. Guess what? I'm not sorry. Promise you.
Okay.
I promise you, baby.
Yeah, we won't be upset, but this has been the Brothers Podcast.
We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.